Seem warm in here to you. I'd like to greet everybody tonight. Thank you for coming, being here. Probably the last thing you expected was to see me up here. Merle's away, and someone said they needed a preacher, and I said, well, I'll give it a try. So thanks for allowing me to be here. May God bless us all tonight. Hopefully we'll be able to get a blessing from what we do here tonight. To God be the glory. It's not everybody gets a chance to stand up here and speak, and like I say, sometimes you get butterflies and sometimes you get eagles. Sometimes I think I got eagles. You know, when we talk about candles in the Bible, we often think, you know, like a little wax candle with a wick on top and that type of thing. But when you read about a candle, it's actually a lamp. And back in those days, when, you know, in the biblical days, they had either a little stone container, sometimes it'd be a metal container, or pottery, and have a little wick in it. And down in the bottom, it would have oil. Well, I think of myself tonight as maybe being an old burlap wick. A little squidgy around the edges, but hopefully I can bring up some oil tonight, and we can get a little flame going here and learn and maybe get a little light to guide us. God waited for the right time to send his son. Jesus was in the beginning with God. It says in John 1, this is verses 2 and 3, he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. So with Jesus, all things were made. He was with God in the beginning. But yet, thousands of years passed before he came to earth. So I'm sure that plans were laid during this time of what he would do, what he would say, how he would do it. The devil tried to stop him. The devil put many roadblocks in Jesus' way. You probably remember right after Jesus was born, Herod had all the little children, little boys, put to death. Shortly before Jesus began his ministry, Satan came and tempted him. And he offered him many things. He wanted him to bow down to him. And he offered him, if he did, he would give him all the kingdoms of the earth. So Jesus had a lot to go through just to get here, just to get to the earth, to speak to us. So we should place great importance on the first things that he said. In Matthew 5, this is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. I'm just going to read the whole Beatitudes, and then we'll go back to the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets that were before you. So the first thing that we see that he said here, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So who are the poor in spirit? Are they people that are spiritually bankrupt? People who realize a deep need in themselves? Are they people who are like a car running on empty, or spiritually empty? Is it the depressed of this world? Is it those who recognize a spiritual need in themselves? When you stop and think about it, all of us have a deep need in ourselves for the kingdom of God. Who is happy in this world? Have you looked around lately? Thought about it? You know, many people these days take antidepressants, and this is not necessarily because they're physically depressed. Maybe they have a physical problem, and they need these things. But in the city of Atlanta, people there take so many antidepressants that it's actually in the water. It's actually in the water system because it works its way back through the water table and gets in the water system. So a lot of people, whether physically depressed or mentally depressed, have depression. Many do not sing songs. I was talking to a lady over at the nursing home the other night, and she said sometimes she gets up in the morning and she feels depressed. And I don't know why that is, but sometimes when you, in a place like a nursing home, I guess when you get up and you look around you and you see all the people there, it probably depresses you. But she said she sang songs. And I know she can sing because when my mother was in there, my mom liked to sing, and sometimes we'd tune up on a song. I don't know. The Jericho Road was one of her favorites, and we would tune up on it. My mom could barely sing because her voice was so raspy, you know, from all the problems that she had. But we would start singing together, and before you know it, people down the hall would start coming. And this lady that I talked to the other day was one of them that came there, and she would help us. She would sing. And that's what she said she did when she became poor in spirit. Many try to get help from drinking and drugs. There's a lot of people that turn when they get depressed and they get low in spirit, and they turn to doing drinking and drugs, and it doesn't really help. It just makes it worse. Some are starved for entertainment. Some are looking for some new thing, like the ones in Athens were doing in Acts 17, where it says that for the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. So those who recognize a spiritual need in themselves, do we feel we have a need for the kingdom of heaven? So tonight, I want us to think about the kingdom of heaven and maybe realize a blessing from it tonight. Can we see the king of this kingdom, God? Can we see him with our eyes? It says in 1 John 4, verses 11 through 12, it says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Can we see the kingdom? The kingdom of heaven is not heaven itself. The kingdom of heaven is in the heart of us. The kingdom of heaven is his church and everything else that's subject to God's leadership. In Matthew 16, it says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So it's unlike earthly kingdoms. When you think of earthly countries and you think of earthly kingdoms, we think of, you know, the problems that we have in our own country, you know. Love our country as we do, we still have problems here. We have problems with infrastructure. Of course, we have problems with politicians bickering for power. And then we look around the world and we see all kind of kingdoms and countries dealing with death and war. I mean, even at this time, you know, all you have to do is turn the news on and you see that there's all kind of strife among earthly kingdoms. So let's use our minds tonight and just imagine and focus on the kingdom and think just a little bit about what it is and why that we're blessed when we think about it. It's eternal. The kingdom of heaven is connected with invisible forces that defy anything to break or slow them down. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, it says, and this is a dream that's being interpreted by Daniel Nebuchadnezzar. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. Will our country crush all other kingdoms? Will it never be destroyed? Will it bring to an end all the kingdoms of the earth? Will it last forever? I think we know the answers to those questions. But the kingdom of God will. The kingdom of God will last forever. That we can count on. And the kingdom of God will do all the things listed here. It's well organized and maintained. And the humble are the greatest. How many kingdoms of this earth can you think of that the humble are the greatest? He called a little child. This is Matthew 18, verses 2. He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whosoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's different from the world. It's beautiful in a spiritual way. There's a song in our book, number 289, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord. Verse 6 says, sure as thy truth shall last, to Zion shall be given the brightest glories earth can yield, and brightest bliss of heaven. So in a spiritual way, we have a beautiful kingdom, the kingdom of God. It's a place where God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember Jesus' prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in the Lord's church, in his kingdom on earth, we strive our best to do his will like it's done in heaven. But Satan doesn't want us to think about God. He doesn't want us to think about this kingdom. He tempts us to lose our focus. Think of all the things that we do in a day's time, from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night. Think about the media that comes to you in television and on your cell phone or radio or different things that distract you and the business of just of the day, things you have to do, things you have lined up to do for the day. And Satan can get right in the middle of all of that, and we can lose our focus. We don't see the kingdom of heaven anymore. We don't think about it. He tempts us to feel hopeless. It's so easy to feel hopeless in a world like ours when we look around and we see all the things going on. He tempts us to be worldly, to do the things that the world does. There's a saying, stop and smell the roses. How often do we fly all around a rose and light on a cow patty? I didn't know whether to use that one tonight, but I said, I think I will anyway. We have a tendency to do that, don't we? We don't stop and think about the things that we need to be thinking about. We don't think about the kingdom and like we should. So we need to just take a little bit of time and stop and think about the kingdom. So when should we do it? When should we think about the kingdom of God? Just stop and Think about it. Think about what's going on in the kingdom of God today. Think about the Christians. Think about people living a Christian life and praying and trying to do God's word and will. And think about the spiritual things that are going on. We don't know exactly what's going on spiritually, but we know that there are many spiritual things going on by God. When we're worried about our lives is a good time. When the storm clouds invade our thoughts. When we're sick. I know this last flu season was a really bad one. And they had a lot of people sick from week to week. And a lot of people were out and a lot of people were going to the doctors and even some were in the hospitals because of it. So when we're sick is a good time for us to stop and take a good look and think about the kingdom. When we're close to death. I hate to say it, but you know, sometimes we can be very close to death. And I'm sure that we have some members and people that we know right now that are close to death. That's a good time to stop and think about the kingdom of God. When it seems like the end of all things has come. Now that's a kind of an extreme thing to think about, but when we have disasters in our families, especially really bad disasters, when we lose members of our family, I've seen multiple members of families taken at one time. I know we all have. And it does seem like the end has come, at least to us. That's a good time to stop and think about the kingdom of God. If you would, let us have a prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your kingdom. And we thank you that you have blessed us with your kingdom. And we pray that you would bless us tonight with your spirit, that we would receive your kingdom and that we would realize what it is and what it means to us to be part of it. And we pray that you would bless us and help us to conform to your will. Help us to be your children and to be part of this kingdom. We pray that you would help us to have a fresh new look at your kingdom and to think about it and to understand it better. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The kingdom of heaven comes with a reward. It says in John chapter 14, it's starting at verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Many mansions. What do you think of when you think of a mansion? Do you think of maybe some mansions you've seen before, or maybe Biltmore or someplace like that, or maybe the Dooley Mansion in Richmond? I don't know what these mansions are like, but I know that Jesus went to prepare a place for us. And Jesus is the one who invented the little babies. A newborn baby, when it's born, you pick it up and you look at a newborn baby and you see its little fingernails and its little features, little eyes, and just look how beautiful they are. They're beautiful. And think to yourself that the same one who made this little baby has gone to prepare a place for us so that where he is, we can come and be with him also. So when you think about the things that Jesus has done, and you think about that he's gone there for a specific reason of making a place for us. Imagine in your mind, if you can, imagine what it will be like there. There's no better time to be part of his kingdom than now. As I've heard people say, yesterday is in the tomb, and tomorrow is in the womb. So we only have today. Have you heard the word Do you believe it? Have you repented of your sins and turned from them? Not very far. All you need is confess Jesus as your Lord and be baptized. You can be part of that kingdom. Or if you need the prayers of the church, you can come forward and we can pray for you. So that's all I prepared to say tonight. Thanks for listening. And thanks for letting me do it. It can be a little frightening at times, but I really appreciate you. You've been a really good congregation. Thank you. And if anyone needs to come forward for any reason, we ask you to do so while we stand and sing.